Welcome to the Sermon of the Week podcast from Indianola First in Indianola, Iowa. We pray this message will encourage you and help you grow as you deepen your relationship with Jesus.
Awesome to be here today. I love this church. I love how you guys worship. I love our worship team. I love how you guys show up. I just love this church. You love this church?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God is so good. You know, when I was growing up, my dad owned his own refrigeration repair business. And back then, there were a lot of small farms around where we lived. And there was a lot of those farms that milked cows. And he worked on many of their bulk tanks. You want to throw up that picture real quick? Thank you. Yeah. That's what a lot, if you don't know what that is a milk room on a milk farm, and that is a bulk tank, and that's a pretty clean one, actually. I asked ChatGPT to make me a picture of a milk room in the 1980s. I think it did okay, but it was like perfectly clean, so I said, I dirty it up a little bit. Well, then it got way too dirty, it was like gross, so I said, back it off a little bit, and it came up with this, but it's still a little too clean. How many have ever been in a milk room that wasn't that clean? All right, yeah. This is a milk room right here, or at least where they store the milk. And that's a bulk tank. And my dad used to work on those because they would cool. Those bulk tanks would keep the milk cold. That's where the milk would be pumped and cooled after they milked the cows. And sometimes my dad would bring home, especially if it was his last stop to fix one of these bulk tanks, he would get a gallon of milk, I'm assuming with the farmer's permission, but he would bring home a gallon of fresh milk, and it was always such a treat. I mean, not just because the milk was fresh and because it tasted so good. How many have ever had fresh milk? It's good stuff, isn't it? Good stuff. Some of you don't even, you wouldn't have a clue. You'd taste it and be like, what is this? And it's good milk. The milk you get at the store, not so good. But anyway, fresh milk. And it was, again, not because it was just so fresh. It was always a treat because of what happened to it overnight when we put it in the refrigerator. By the next morning, the cream from the fresh milk that was in the fresh milk would rise to the surface, and there would be like this much cream. We'd stick that jar of milk in the fridge, and there'd be like this much cream on the very top by morning. And that was the best part of the milk. Great for making butter if you make your own butter. Great for ice cream. Anybody make their own ice cream in here? Many kinds of cheeses work with that cream. And even whipped topping. We used to use it in our coffee, in our hot chocolate. We used to use it in things that we baked. Fresh cream from fresh milk. It's amazing. Better than the butter cow. Okay? It was amazing. And most of you know that I'm wired in a way to where my mind is always going and I can't sit still most of the time. It could be adult ADHD. I don't know. I've never been diagnosed. I don't sit still well. And in some ways, it's actually probably one of my strengths, but it can often become one of my greatest weaknesses, and I think often does. Our strengths and weaknesses are like that, aren't they? Like, your greatest strength can become your greatest weakness, and your greatest weakness can be your greatest strength, as long as you get it in perspective, and you know what it is, and you let the Lord work with it. But I think for me, just personally, I think this is why God continually reminds me of this verse I'm going to share with you this morning. We're going to talk about one verse predominantly today. It's Psalms 46, 10a, and I'm not even going to give you the whole verse. I'm just going to give you the first half of it. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. The word of God doesn't need an illustration to make it true. How many know that's right on? But so often, the very things that God has created give us pictures of what his word has already declared. The story of the milk and cream is like that. It just reiterates what God has created to be true in our lives. And I'm going to get into more of that later. But in this verse, be still and know that I am God. God is simply reminding us to be still and know him. Be still and know him. With all of the crazy chaos in our lives, nothing brings us back to center like that. Nothing balances us out and even silences the chatter in our heads like being still and knowing him. So I'm going to make this really, really simple today, and I hope it challenges you. It definitely has challenged me because historically it's not an easy thing for me to just simply be still and know him. So number one, be still. What does it mean to be still? Well, the original Hebrew word here is rapha. Turn to your neighbor and say rapha. Rapha. And it carries with it the sense of sinking down. Everybody take a deep breath in. I'll let it all out, sink down. The sense of sinking down, relaxing, letting go, refraining or ceasing. It can even describe loosening your grip. So when God says, be still, he isn't just saying, be quiet. He's saying, relax, stop striving, let go, release your grip and know that I am God. And in the midst of our busy schedules and our striving to get things done, we can easily become overwhelmed to the place where we just want to give up. And I get it, life is extremely busy. And the more goals you have and the more dreams that you shoot after, the busier and busier it gets. And the older you get, just for those of you that are a little younger than me, the faster it goes. Is that true, old saints? The faster it goes. You know, sometimes I think about the number of days that we have in this life, and I kind of like to reference it with 80 years old, just a nice round figure. How many are going to live past 80? Well, a couple of you are. A couple of you have. But if you live to be 80 years old exactly, it comes out to be 29,220 days. That doesn't seem like that very many days, does it? 29,220 days. That's how many days you have if you live to be 80 years old. And if you're 30 right now and you live to be 80, then you have around 18,263 days left. Not too many days left. And as you get older, you know, Denny just turned 80. How many days is that left? However many he has, we don't know. Right? My point is this, life is a vapor. It goes by fast, and most of us want to live life to the fullest. Make the most of it. We want to accomplish some great things during our time here, but we get so caught up in our efforts to achieve that we can become overwhelmed and even burnt out. We get tired. We forget that God has told us to be still. And this is a secret. You want to get more done? You want to accomplish more in anything in your life? Be still. Be still, relax, loosen your grip and let go to stop striving in your own strength. That's what we got to do. The more you strive, how many know, the tireder, the more busy, the more just those things you're shooting after for, they seem like they're so much more out of reach. God says, be still, be still. Do you want to know why the cream rose to the top when we put that big jar of milk in the refrigerator? It's because it was still. There's that picture again. You see the top of that mixer, or the top of that bulk tank? There's a mixer on top. That's a motor there, and it mixes. Doesn't just keep it cold, the bulk tank. Has that mixer on top. And it has to constantly be running as the fresh milk is pumped into the tank. Yes, the tank, again, keeps it cold, but it also stirs it. Constantly, it agitates it, and it's the agitation that keeps the cream from separating and rising to the top. You may have heard people use the phrase, cream of the crop. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're the cream of the crop. Right. Some of you didn't do that because you don't believe your neighbor is. And that's in reference to the best part. That's what that phrase means. The best part or the most useful part. The whole cream rising to the top is actually where this phrase comes from. Cream refers to the very best part, and crop refers to that which is harvested. So the best of all that was harvested, the cream of the crop, became a common phrase. And I think there are Christians, and hear me, church, who haven't experienced the best within them rising to the top. The cream hasn't found its way to the surface of who they are. The very best parts that God created us with to carry out his purposes and his plans in our lives, those parts haven't quite risen to the visible surface in far too many of us. And I wonder if it's because we've left the agitator on. The mixer is always going, creating the chaos below the surface, keeping the cream of the crop, the best part of us, churning and swirling below, where it just never becomes visible, or at least rarely visible. And what's the agitation? What's shaking everything up inside our souls? What is that? We already mentioned the constant busyness that so many of us struggle with, but the constant notifications on devices. It even happens while we're preaching sometimes. Not mine, but yours. Sometimes mine. Constant notifications on our devices. The constant anxiety that just seems to linger. The constant comparisons we make between ourselves and others. The lies we listen to and the lies we start to believe. The constant offense that we walk in. How many know it's easy to live offended? To walk around offended by everything that everybody does and everything everybody says. It's a lot harder to live unoffended. And I should mention the constant lust to be entertained. Man, we live in a culture that has to be entertained. Boy, we better not be bored. If we get bored, we get agitated. Used to tell the kids when they say they're bored, say, well, boring people are the only ones that get bored. We can always find something for you to do. They stopped asking that or stopped saying that after a while. But as a culture, if we get bored, we get agitated. And of course, the constant hurry, the constant unwillingness to forgive, the constant emotional, spiritual, and even physical pain that others have caused us, the addictions that we depend on to self-medicate, all of these things are agitators in our life. All of those things that we grip onto so tightly for some reason. And we could go on and on with all those different agitators, all those things that keep things churned up and mixed up in our lives, could go on and on with it. And the problem isn't that God has stopped speaking or acting on our behalf. I'm going to say that again. The problem is not that God has stopped speaking or acting on our behalf. He hasn't ignored what we're going through. It's that our lives are so stirred up and we've allowed them to become that way that we don't even hear or recognize his voice anymore. Maybe we've been allowing the shaking and the agitating of our souls for years. We wake up to our phone instead of waking up to the scripture or to our Bibles. We carry yesterday's regrets and tomorrow's worries on our shoulders. We rush from appointment to appointment. We fill every quiet moment with noise. Anybody relate to this? We constantly have information pouring into us, but we tend to have very little revelation settling in our souls. And be still and know that he is God. Be still and let go. Be still and relax. Quiet your soul, loosen your grip, and sink down into the peace and the safe place that he is. Be still and quit striving so hard. That's when the best version of you will rise to the surface. And it's only the best version of you because of what happens when we are still. His voice becomes clearer. His peace rises above our anxiety. His perspective rises above our problems. Our gratitude rises above our complaints. Wouldn't that be nice if we gave him thanks more than we complained? Our faith rises above our fear, and he calms the storms that never seem to quit agitating us. You know, there's something else that I discovered as I dove into studying this word, Rapha. It sounds amazingly similar to a Hebrew word that God used to describe himself in Exodus 5:26. He calls himself Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, restores, literally the God that stitches us back together. I want you to understand, these words, these Hebrew words, they're distinctly different. They're not the same, but when we translate them to English, they sound exactly the same. Only someone who speaks fluent Hebrew would even be able to tell the difference, those small nuance in how they're said. I listened to them over and over, and I couldn't tell the difference. But they are distinctly different. So I'm not telling you that be still is the same word, and it means to be healed or restored. It doesn't. But what a beautiful picture it creates for us. The God who tells us to be still is the same God who has revealed himself as our healer. He's the God who restores. And when we are still, Rapha, in his presence, he's the one who will heal, Rapha, and stitch us back together. I love that. Maybe we can still be still and loosen our grip because we know whose hands we're actually falling into. And understand this, stillness is not the absence of activity. Did you hear what I said? Stillness is not the absence of activity. It's the presence of trust. Trust in the one who can restore us by bringing peace and order to the chaos in our lives. Notice that God didn't say, work harder and know that I am God. He didn't say, run faster and know that I am God. He didn't say, add more things to your calendar and know that I am God. He said, be still and know that I am God. Number one, be still. Number two, know him. Know him. This is a two-part message today, so, man, we're flying through this. You're going to beat the Baptist to the buffet today. The Methodist to McDonald's. The Presbyterians to Perkins. I mean, however you want to do it. Number two, know him. Psalm 46:10a, be still and know that I am God. The original Hebrew word that's translated know is yada, yada. Turn to your neighbor and say yada, just so we got both words down, yada. You sound like a bunch of infants talking. And it means to know or perceive, to recognize, to understand, to become acquainted with, or to know by experience. It has a much deeper meaning than just processing information or possessing information. In Scripture, it often implies relational knowledge or knowing because of experience. Experiential knowledge. That's what it kind of points to in Scripture. God isn't telling us to be still and remember the theological fact that he exists. He's saying, be still and recognize me. Let go and experience me. Stop striving in yourself and become acquainted with who I am. And even though I just spent a bunch of time on it, Psalms 46:10 isn't really about being still. Being still is what transforms the posture of your soul so that you can know him. The point is to know him. To know him. Again, he doesn't just say, be still. He says, be still and know. So the purpose of our stillness is not inactivity. The purpose of our stillness is intimacy. Intimacy with God. The purpose of our stillness is not inactivity. The purpose of our stillness is intimacy with him. When we dial down the agitation, we begin to let go and become still. God's voice and presence becomes clearer in our lives, and we begin to show him and know him more intimately. But you know what's amazing about knowing God? The one we're trying to know already knows us completely. Psalm 139, it says this, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Before we ever learned to recognize his voice, he knew ours. Before we understood his purposes and plans for our lives, he knew the gifts and callings he deposited within us. Before anyone ever saw our potential, he saw the cream that was hidden by all of the agitation. God knew it was there all the time. And that's why stillness isn't about discovering some hidden greatness within ourselves. It's about getting close enough to God, becoming intimate with him. So much, in fact, that we start to see ourselves as he sees us. You know, I keep this card in my office. I tried to scan it, and it just didn't turn out right. So I don't really have, I can't put it up on the screen, but it looks like this. Maybe they can close up on it, I don't know. But what it says, you don't have to do that. It has two spiritual giants on here that have quotes. And the first one is Billy Graham. Ever hear of him? He says this, and he's pictured here, and there's, I mean, thousands upon thousands of people that are listening. He's at the pulpit. And it just says this. I would study more. His question, what would you do different? I would study more. I would pray more. I would travel less. I would take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do it all over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him. He said that in 2011. Leonard Ravenhill, great preacher, man of faith. He said, if I had spent more time alone with God rather than preaching and planning how I was going to change the world, I would be a very different man. I think that's powerful from two guys who did a lot for the kingdom. And I stick that underneath my desk protector. It's clear, and I see it all the time when I'm sermonizing or I'm on the phone or I'm doing work, and it just reminds me all of this stuff that we do. It pales in comparison to just spending time with God, being still and learning who he is, spending time with him, learning to be intimate with him. Understand, the best version of you isn't something inherently wonderful buried inside you. You were born with a sinful nature, which is a propensity to sin. You were born with that. But if you're a born-again believer, how many born-again believers we got in the room here today? Almost all of you. That's great. Born-again believers. For you, the best version of yourself is the version in which you know God, you know him, and begin to live out his purposes and plans in your life. That's the best version of you. Not living out your purposes and plans, but his. His. And what he'd have you do. I want you to think about that milk again. The cream wasn't created because the milk became still. It was there the whole time. Stillness didn't create the cream, it revealed it. And there are things God has deposited in you that the agitators in your life may be keeping beneath the surface. See, knowing him, there's a peace that you can know when you know him. There's a peace that he wants you to experience. There's a patience he wants you to learn. There's a compassion he wants you to feel. There's a generosity he wants you to live out. And there are most certainly gifts and callings just waiting to be discovered. There's strong, unshakable faith and a place where the fruit of the Spirit, it just flows. It just flows from your heart. God already knows what's in the milk. He knows the best parts of you. And the more you know him, the more you will know yourself. After all, he created you. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And by the way, for some of you, he knows how many hairs aren't on your head. He knows you very, very well. He saves all of your tears. He bottles them up. That's what the Word of God says. He knows everything about you, everything that's been said to you, every lie that's been told to you, everything that you've experienced in this life, bad or good. He knows. He knows you very well. But he wants you to know him. There's no way to do that without spending time with him in a place where you're still. You're just still. Lots of people know about God, but are clueless about who he is. There are people who can debate theology because they've studied, and yet they wouldn't know his voice if he spoke audibly to them. There are people who can quote the scriptures with references even, but they don't know or understand God's heart. And as a pastor, I can spend my whole life working for God and still neglect spending time with him. He wants us, church. He wants us. He desires intimacy with us. He longs for a relationship with us, a deep, meaningful, personal relationship. He's crying out to you this morning, I believe. Be still and know. Be still and know me. When was the last time you were with God and you wanted absolutely nothing except him? No list, no emergency, no request, no, God, you got to do something right now because I've got myself in a pickle. None of that. No agenda, just God, I'm here because I want you. I want to know you. And maybe the invitation today isn't about adding one more thing to your life. Maybe it's about finally deciding to turn something off. An agitator that's been holding back the greatness within you from becoming realized. And I want to be careful in saying this, but I think there's far too many Christians that we bury with the good stuff inside of them that's never come out because they've spent their life letting the agitator keep it down. I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what that means. Could mean that you have a calling on your life that you haven't been saying yes to. It could mean that there's a place in God spiritually that you've never got to, where he just transforms your life and leads you and guides you. When you know God, the more you know God, the more you know him, guess what? The more you'll know yourself. And the more that good stuff that you know is in there, that he knows is in there, will come out. Put down the phone. Release the offense. Surrender the worry. Loosen your grip on the thing you've been desperately trying to control. We're so controlling. Stop striving long enough to remember his words. Be still and know that I am God. And it's a very simple message. It's why I kept the message simple. I didn't want to complicate a simple message, right? But I want you this week to think about this a lot. Be still and know. When it's raging all in your head and the machine gun thoughts, I call them thoughts like a machine gun, like they're just, and you just can't get away from them. You know what I'm talking about? Stop for a second and say, no, the word of God says be still and know. I'm going to be still. And just find a place where you can be quiet. Maybe sometimes that means prayer, but how many know prayer is listening as much as it is talking? Some of us get into prayer and we jabber so much we don't have time to hear from God. Just sit there in his presence and listen. Turn on some music if that helps you. If the words can get in the way of you communicating with God in that way, then find some instrumental music. Do what you do. Do what works for you. But find that place where you can be still and just get to know him. Over and over and deeper and deeper. I don't think God is asking you to run harder or run faster or try harder. I don't think that's what he's doing. I don't think he's asking you to accomplish more. I think he's just saying this morning, be still and know him. See, I wonder what God's been trying to bring to the surface in you. What's underneath there? Have you ever thought about that? What greatness within me, because God created me with it, is not coming to the surface? Because of the agitation, the mixing. Maybe there's more peace in you than you've been living with. Maybe there's more faith than fear. Maybe there's more generosity than selfishness. Maybe there's a calling, again, that's been buried under a stack of busyness. Maybe there's a forgiveness underneath, an offense that's been stirring within you for decades. You know, some people don't forgive for decades. I don't know what's been done to you. But I'm telling you, I can say this with 100% certainty. First of all, I may not even understand what you've been through. But I can still say this with 100% certainty. It's not worth not forgiving for you. Forgive. Forgive it. Forgive it. Doesn't mean that what's been done to you was right. It just means you're taking them off your hook and putting them on God's. Maybe the agitator has just been running too long, as we've been saying. You know, God does his deepest work in the quiet places of our lives. So this morning, I want to play you a song, and I want you to listen to the words, but I want to invite you to come forward and find a place of prayer. And if you're We got lots of time here. I don't want you to rush out and go down and get your kids and all that. Let's take a few moments and act on this. Be still and know that He is God. So I want to invite you to come forward, find a place of prayer. If you can't do that physically, that's fine. Maybe you can kneel at your chair. Maybe you can just sit in your chair and bow your head and just find that place where you can be still in your mind, in your emotions, in your body language, all of it. Just be still and begin to experience Him. Quiet your soul, let go of the controls, and just let Him speak to you this morning.